pleased before the Lord. We're going to read now Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, and thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, deception, and lies. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and they flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. May the Lord bless his word. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Lord, now, as we come to the word, settle our hearts down, we pray. Bless, give understanding, take away tiredness of heart and soul. And Lord, where we have been lethargic in the work of Christ, where we have been careless in obeying the Word of God, even in our own personal outreach, Lord, quicken our hearts, revive our spirits, stir our souls, and help us to walk in the center of thy will, glorifying our Savior each day. Lord, I pray that the joy of thy salvation will come to our hearts with new power. Hear us. Bless tonight. Give me help in speaking the word. Give help to everyone here to understand. We ask all these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. The Lord Jesus tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are said to be mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. No Christian should ever be deceived or confused, because we are all in a battle. We're in a battle that has great importance, great significance. It's a battle that does not have to do with physical weaponry. It's a battle that does not have to do with financial control or empire building. No, it is a conflict that every Christian is engaged in. It's a spiritual one, and it's not a new one. If you have been on the road as a believer for any length of time, you will know very clearly what I'm talking about. And as our youth are gaining their spiritual stamina and strength to go out into the world, they will find too that as they attempt to do that which is right and good, you will find then how much an enemy the devil is against us. Surely as we've read this psalm, you have picked up on what David was talking about. There were many that came against him, many that tried to attack him. He knew that the devil was behind this. He knew that those who were trying to pull him down and to pull down the strongholds of God were the forces of evil, and they were ferociously committed to this, to destroying his testimony, as the devil is about to destroy our testimony. Every one of us, let us take heed to this and not think that we are going to escape and just slip through life, just to go on our merry way. without confronting and being involved in this conflict. And the more that we attempt as God's people to stand for Him and to walk in His Word, well, the more we are going to face and know what this conflict is all about. The opening Psalm, Psalm 1, tells us of two pathways, the righteous and the wicked. And these pathways, they will clash in bitter conflict. And it's been like that from the beginning of time, and it will be like that, believer, until the very end of time, until the last soul is brought home. Yet the Christian outcome for us is certain. We know the victory is ours in the Lord Jesus. And no matter what comes against us, and sometimes it is stinging in its attack, yet we have confidence and faith to know that Christ Jesus has already won the victory for us. And let us therefore take hold of that victory we have in Christ and not allow the devil to beat us up. This unceasing conflict, when we face it day by day, how is the believer to survive? Let alone, how are we to have joy in our life living for God? When you begin to think and mount up in your own head all the things that can come against you in the course of a day, to say nothing of just maybe the mundane, the day-to-day drudgery, as the world would call it, let those words never come across the lips of a Christian. We should never think about a day being a day of drudgery. For every day that God gives us is an opportunity. Every day we have to live is a life to live for joy and a life to live for His honor. Christ has said to us, "These things have I written unto you that your joy may be full." And oh, believer, that we might tap into this great truth that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I want to leave with you verse 11 tonight from this psalm. "But let all those that trust in thee rejoice," David said. "Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." When I was a younger Christian, this verse of Scripture I committed to my memory. As I read through the Psalms, it stood out very brightly as a verse that is worthy of praying over, of thinking over, of meditating on and turning in your heart day by day. And so I would admonish you to put a mark beside that in your Bible and pray that God would commit it to you. The Lord has told us, "I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord." There is joy for us in the Christian experience. There is joy for us to have every single day. But friends, we will learn that the joy that we have in Christ is never tied to the things of this life. When I say never tied to it, I don't mean that we should be not thankful for the blessings we have, because I do believe that from a thankful heart of a redeemed believer, one who is in Christ and who has tasted of the blessings of the Lord in abundance, why, we are thankful indeed for those mercies. We do count the things and the blessings and gifts of God as being worthwhile, and they are thankworthy. And so we will praise the Lord for His mercy. There's a great equation that is put before us in this 11th verse. The equation of trusting and loving equals rejoicing. Trusting in the Lord, loving God with all our hearts. We put these two things together and we find the response here is a heart of rejoicing. Let us consider this joy that David speaks of. In the first place, it's a joy that is reserved for those who trust in God. Those that put their trust in Thee. The Lord reserves a special joy for His people. For the true Christian, trusts in God and is safe. There is what I call a settled peace in the heart to know that all is good. Now, all might not be good for you, believer, in your life. All might be actually upside down in your circumstances, in the trials, in what has happened, in what's come across your plate for the day. We do not know what a day will bring forth. But again, our joy is not something that is determined by the events that go on around us. Let that never be our case. For if we are thinking that is what's going to constitute our happiness, we are mistaken. It is not the case. It is very often when our life has been the most upside down, it is then we sense the sweet presence of Christ with us. And that sweet presence of the Lord in our life during those hard times, that is when His light shines upon our face and we taste and see that the Lord is good for us. Horatius Spafford, when he wrote the hymn, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Let that truth sink into it, because those without Christ have no degree of pleasure and happiness but that which is limited to a very narrow field of view. Because everything that the world has and the ungodly have, it must be connected with temporal earthly things. And even if somebody might be said to be unsaved but not necessarily materialistic in their outlook, yet whatever joy they have, it must be connected with things in this earth. But the believer is not so. For everything that the Christian has that gives us that deep, settled peace in the heart, it is something that is outside of us, something that is not subjective, but it is objective from the Lord. The joy of the world is, well, we could say synthetic. It's found in self or possessions or fame or money or accomplishment. And some people say, well, I would rather have money because at least it makes the misery a little bit better. And some people might think that's a true case. Well, we need enough to survive, don't we? We certainly need enough, and God has blessed us. He has blessed us with more than we deserve at any account. But His mercies are great to us. See, when those who are unbelievers, when they look for joy in things and material things, the law of diminishing returns comes into the equation. Because whatever you put in, you never get as much out. And so in order to receive a degree of happiness, you must always put in more in order to receive out from that. The world and the devil, well, he never pays back what we invest in. There's always a string attached. There is always pain, because the joy that is sought for by the things in this world, it is inevitably and usually connected with some sinful pleasure. And when those sins bring forth a harvest in the life, why, they bring forth a devastating harvest. Oh, friends, let us not be at all affected or inflicted with the poison, the plague of thinking that we will find satisfaction in things that are here and now. It's only after we have experienced the brokenness, perhaps, or the dissatisfaction of the broken cisterns or pipes of the world's supply, that we will bring ourselves to say, as the hymn writer did, "Now none but Christ can satisfy. There is none other name for me. There is love and life and lasting joy. It's only found in the Savior, found in Thee." Friend, I ask you tonight honestly, is it well with your soul? Are you at peace with God tonight? Do you know in your soul that happiness and joy that is not touched by the things of this world? Because if we are trying to satisfy ourselves, if you're trying to satisfy yourself with anything else other than Christ, you will not have peace in your heart. You will always be grasping for more, always be stretching and reaching out, thinking that now I will have happiness. This thing will get it for me. That person will bring it to me. That goal reached will be accomplishment for me. We find that those things, they always leave us short. They're always like that dream, that vision. It's like in the desert, those who see the mirage of the well, the water, and they're always just reaching one step further forth, thinking they'll be satisfied, but only falling on the dry sand and dying of thirst. Friend, outside of Christ you have nothing, but in Him you will find the well of salvation, the well that's overflowing. And as we drink of that well of Christ, as He said, I give you water, and when you drink you will never thirst again. The joy of knowing peace with God, the joy of drinking in of all that the Lord has for us. Yes, friend, those that put their trust in God, have you trusted in Him tonight? If you are a Christian, and yet you say, I've been lacking in that very important element. For so many other things have crowded in that it seems it's pushed the Lord out. You need then to come back, believer, tonight and say, oh God, please renew my simple trust. Renew my simple faith. Renew my heart in the things of God so that I might again rejoice with the joy that I once had when I first saw the Savior. Please notice, secondly, that there is joy for all believers. For David said, let all those rejoice that put their trust in Thee. Yes, it's for everyone. God does not respect persons. He does not say to some Christians, well, you can have this joy, but to other Christians, you cannot experience my joy. No, He gives out, and He gives out bountifully, abundantly. Then what's our problem? Why is it that sometimes we have lack and we don't sense the joy of the Lord in our heart? Well, friend, it's then we must look inside, because often our thinking is wrong. And our thinking is so much like the way of the world that we are badly tilted in the wrong direction. We have to come back to our foundation. Come back to what we know is right. Come back to these basic tenets of the Word of God. For if we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding, He has promised to guide our way, to direct our pathway. And He will supply, believer, every need that we have. But you say things aren't going well. In fact, things are going what appears in every front to be wrong. Has God forsaken me? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Where is the joy in the Lord that I need to have? Oh, friend, again, you need to understand that joy is not connected with your circumstances. And that God's goodness and our rejoicing in Him must be continual, even though the day is dark. Even though the bank is empty, even though things have gone horribly wrong according to our estimation, yet still we must rejoice in the Lord because of who He is. Because our trust in Him must be in the person of our Redeemer. When we consider the greatness of our apostle, the greatness of our high priest, the greatness of our faithful Lord to Him, faithful and true, He is to us. God does not deal to every Christian the same circumstances of life. I have no answer for that problem. Friend, I have no answer of why your life specifically may be going through some great darkness. I have no answer for the fact of why God has allowed this. Apart from this great truth, I know that whatever He deigns for us, whatever He allows for you now, He is allowing it by His providential love, His great, intense care for you. And what He allows you to go through, He is doing it that at the end you might shine forth as a great gem, a great evidence of His grace, a great indication that God is alive, He is active, He is working through us. Believer, this can only be understood through faith and by trusting in Him at all times. If you have been born again by the free grace of God, you are washed in His own precious blood, and you possess tonight all the benefits of the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross. And whenever you get a little bit sad, a little bit cast down, perhaps a bit depressed, you come back to those foundations. Christ loves you with an everlasting love. He has died for you upon the cross, and He has shed His blood that you might have your sins forgiven. You have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You will never be taken out of His hand, for those who are held in the hand of our Heavenly Father, no power in heaven, on earth, or under the earth can remove us out of His hand. We are secure in Him. And God intends for us to experience His grace and mercy and blessing. And He intends for us to know His joy in every time, in every season, in every era of our life. Here's a point that must be emphasized, because though certain blessings and talents and gifts may be distributed by God to His people, there are no degrees in the justification of the Lord. There are no degrees of His love to us. Yes, sometimes we experience, or we might know, a blessing or a benefit or a talent that some other believer may not have, but they have something else that we do not have. And yet when we look at two believers in two completely different ministries, two completely different types of gifts that they have, still both are part of the body of Christ. Both have been justified by the free grace of God. Both are absolutely equal and identical in the eyes of God. Though we see many differences, God sees us under the blood of His Son. God sees us as being redeemed by His own free grace. And oh, friend, there are no degrees of justification. There are no degrees of the love of God. There are no degrees of sonship or being in His family. We are in the Lord, saved by His grace and kept by His own mercy in the merit of Christ's blood. And today we have joy and peace in believing. This blessing is not designated for young or for old or for rich or poor, for educated or unschooled, but for all of God's children, each one of us. Not only has the Lord blessed us in this way, but He has given to us what is termed here in our verse, continuous joy. Let them ever shout for joy is the word that David says here. Let us ever be rejoicing in the Lord. Do you know that God intends us to be happy in Him? The Lord does not intend us to be downcast or depressed. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, this was the word that our brother David McClellan brought to us last Lord's Day morning. He brought it from Philippians 4 and 4. That we are to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. And as he pointed out to us, though the arrangement of furniture in our house may be one way, and we might like it a different way, yet still believer. However God arranges the room of our house, we were reminded, let us be joyful and rejoice in Him. And I must confess, as I'm sure you do, this is a very hard one to apply, because there are many facets of Christian life that can bring sorrow and sadness, upset, grief, pain, that the idea for us of constant joy, why, it seems an impossibility. It seems like a dream that we would reach for, but every time we do, it's not attainable. There are limitations of human understanding. But friend, let us trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not unto our own limited resources and understanding. Our Savior was said to be a man of sorrows and who was acquainted with grief. And yet we are told that He rejoiced in His spirit and with the mission of the cross that was in front of Him. And every day He was on earth, He knew that was the reason He was there, to go to the cross. And yet He was one who could rejoice in God's sovereignty and providential purpose. And He went to the cross, despising that shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And when you feel in your life the joy of the Lord slipping away, and when you sense depression is creeping in, what do? Well, we return to the fountain of all truth and life and be refreshed, for the Lord promises restoration. Psalm 23, He is the one who is the restorer of our soul. And believer, tonight, God is in the restoration work. He is in the renovation work. And He does that in our lives, and He restores, He joys to restore our souls. Let's return to the foundation of our faith and to the foot of the cross of Calvary, and there again gaze upon what our Redeemer has done for us. He died in our place. He shed His own precious blood to wash away our sin and to give us eternal life. We will never perish. We will never be separated from Him. And when we see the Lord Jesus in this fresh sight or fresh view by faith, we're reminded that nothing and no one can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we get to glory, friend, we will be in that place where joy shall never end, and the bounty and everlasting wonder of God's continual supply will never be taken from us, but it will be unfolded with every new opportunity of seeing the wonder and the greatness of our God. Friend, tonight, if you are not saved and you die in your sins, then you will be separated from Him for all eternity. Do not allow that to be your case, my friend. Come to the Savior and make no delay. Do not make silly excuses as to why you will not come to Christ. I was speaking to a man not long ago, and I pressed the gospel message to him. And one of the things he said, a reason for withholding and not coming to Christ, was wondering what other people would say. Wondering what others would think if he was to profess Christ. Wondering what his family would think, or his friends would think, or his workmates would think. And that was put as a reason as to why I will not come to Christ. Oh, friends, how foolish to put that in the great balance of our eternal salvation. Wondering what people will think about us. Oh, let not those thoughts enter your mind. Put them out. But when we consider in our Christian life, what are the things that will interrupt our joy from us? Sin will interrupt our joy. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Sin is a great destroyer, a great robber, and it takes many things away from us, but it certainly takes our joy, because no Christian that is involved in sin can have the joy of Christ about him. In fact, if you see a person and they claim to be a believer and their life is going on well and they are involved in sinful practices and there's no issue, no conscience, no problem, friend, you need to consider that you are not truly a child of God. Because no person can be truly happy and content and joyful in Christ and yet continuing in the things of the world. It's termed in the Bible as returning to a dog going back to his vomit. No, those things are never to be found in a Christian's life. Sin promises so much, and yet it delivers so little. It promises to fascinate us. It promises to give fulfillment. And yet it disappoints in every time. It gives an inviting road that many people want to explore, leaving behind it a whole trail of carnage, a trail of wreckage and lives that are destroyed. And people go to great extents to find satisfaction and happiness, and yet they find that sin always brings destruction in its pathway. Oh, friend, if you have wandered away from the Lord and you've had your joy interrupted by a sinful pleasure, there's only one thing to do. We have to pray that God will forgive us of our sin and deliver us from our backslidings, and pray that we will come into the light again of His joy and peace and satisfaction. Let us flee temptation, and to go not in the way of evil men, and do not listen to things that are going to distract us, things that are going to pull us back further into the world. Let us not listen to those things, but rather to take the advice and counsel, listen to the Lord's word. Well, we would say also that direct disobedience of God's truth will go against a Christian. For when we know that the Lord tells us one thing, and yet we go against Him and go in another direction, well, the Lord says, you will not prosper. And when His people, when we do wander off, sometimes the Lord takes a pebble and He will put that pebble to get our attention. And if we ignore Him and continue on down that road, it becomes a stone and then maybe a rock. And something more severe whereby the Lord will get our attention. And if we continue to disobey, friend, the Lord will not allow His children to go down that road without cost. There is great disobedience that transpired in the life of King Saul when he was told to do one thing and he did something completely different. And Samuel said to him, "Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen, than to offer the fat of rams." We cannot disobey God, my friends, and prosper. We can't disobey and yet still know His blessing. We cannot disobey and have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And then also we can be guilty of laziness in our own spiritual things. Why is your soul often grieved and you have no joy? Why is it that when we think of these matters, we have to be honest and say there's been slothfulness in God's word and in prayer. There has been a slacking in these areas. And it's no wonder then why we do not experience the Lord's fullness in our life. What about when we think about God's things, His house, place of worship, place of prayer? Maybe these things have not been in a priority position in our life, and we have been slumbering, sleeping. Well, we need to wake ourselves up and pray that God would stir our souls up, because David said, "I joyed when to the house of God I went." And so when we come to God's place, to fellowship with His people, to hear His Word, why there needs to be an excitement. We need to prepare our hearts and minds for this, not to come with a slack heart or a lazy mind. Let us come to seek Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. For then we find He is the one to answer and to come to our need. We will have continuous joy in our lives. Well, there is an evidence that this is true, because David said there will be a shouting for joy. Well, this speaks to us about a rejoicing in worship, rejoicing in praise, singing aloud unto the Lord's name. Friend, do not be ashamed of God in our worship. Let us not be set aside in any way because we're afraid that, well, our voices might not be right on tune, or we might not be able to praise Him as someone else. No, let that not be the case. The devil wants to silence us. He wants us to be quiet. Let our praise be unto the Lord's name, to praise Him with all of our soul. The people of the Lord, while we have a right to shout and to sing, Anthony was saying tonight in his testimony about the authority of God in witnessing. And it's true. We are often afraid to witness because we think we're going to impose something upon people. But actually, God's Spirit has given us authority by heaven itself to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Lord Jesus has told us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And therefore, let us have that boldness and confidence, and that rejoicing in Him. To be confident, because the Lord is the one who is with us. He is the one who guides us. He is the one who will defend us. And if God be for us, friends, who can be against us? There is no weapon that is formed against us that will be able to prosper. We are in the Lord's army. It is a spiritual army. We are called to do a service and a work. Let us therefore, that love the name of our God, be joyful in Him. This is the sum of everything. Because if we love the Lord with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength, and if we have devoted our life and committed ourselves to Him, nothing else matters. Let us have that joy that God talks about. It's a joy in everything, in His Word, in His people, in His things, in the work that He has called us to do, joy in trusting in Him, joy and contentment in the lot of life that He has given to us. See, all of these things, friend, they are not of the world, but they are what God has given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And even though the stall may be empty, as Habakkuk says, and even though everything else might be going wrong, yet still, our God is sovereign, and He will one day bring us to the point of full understanding, full comprehension of His sovereign and providential purposes and the lot that He has established for our life and for our ways. Let's bow together in prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight, I've been directing my words mostly to those who are Christians. Friend, you may be here tonight, young person, older person, watching online, and you're not a Christian. And I would exhort you to come to Christ right where you are. Call upon Him. Ask the Lord to save your soul as you repent of your sin. And you will know the joy and the peace of God in believing. Heavenly Father, I pray that we might know what it means to not test and measure our joy by earthly things. Help us to be thankful. Give us a true heart of rejoicing. Lord, hear us now tonight. Be with us, we ask, in our Savior's name. Amen. Please turn with me to, what was that other, the second hymn? 632, please. 632. Let's stand, please, as we sing these verses. God is the treasure of my soul. Dear Lord, help us in the time of our weakness, in the time of our fainting fits, in the time when we are tempted to think that all is lost. Let us turn our eyes by faith again heavenward to see the great and everlasting purposes of our sovereign Lord. Dear Father, forgive us for our sin. And help us to rejoice with joy unspeakable and filled with the glory of the Lord Himself. Dear Lord, bless us now. Part us in Thy fear and with Thy rich blessing. We pray all these things in our Savior's worthy name. Amen.